Now from her room came heedful Penelope, like Artemis or golden Aphrodite. Beside the fire where she was wont to sit, they placed a chair fashioned with spiral work of ivory and silver, which Icmalius the carpenter had made long time ago, setting upon the lower part a rest for feet, fixed to the chair itself. Over the whole, a large fleece had been thrown. Here heedful Penelope now sat down. Soon came the white-armed damsels from their hall, and cleared away the abundant food, the tables and the cups from which the proud lords had been drinking. The embers from the braziers they threw upon the floor, and in the braziers piled fresh heaps of wood to furnish light and warmth. Then thus Melantho once more chid Odysseus. "Stranger, are you still here to plague us all night long, prowling about the house, watching the women? Be off, vile thing, and be content with eating, or you will soon be hit with a brand and go." But looking sternly on her, wise Odysseus said, "Woman, why rail at me with such an angry heart? Is it that I am foul and wear mean clothes and beg about the land? Necessity constrains me. This is what beggars and what homeless people are. Yet once I lived in luxury among my mates, in a rich house, and often gave to wanderers, careless who they might be or with what need they came. Servants I had in plenty, and everything besides, by which men live at ease and are reputed rich. But Zeus, the son of Cronus, brought me low. His will it was. And you, too, woman, some day yet may lose those charms in which you now excel the other maids. Your mistress may become provoked to anger with you. Odysseus may return. There still is room for hope. But if he is dead, as you suppose, and to return no more, yet by Apollo's grace he has a worthy son, Telemachus, whose eye no woman in the hall escapes in her misdeeds, because he is no longer now the child he was." Heedful Penelope heard what he was saying, and she rebuked her maid, and spoke to her, and said, "Not in the least, you bold and shameless creature, have you escaped my eye in doing guilty deeds. Your head shall answer for them. Full well you knew, you heard it from myself, that I intended to ask tidings of this stranger here in my hall about my husband, for I am sore distressed." She spoke, and to the housekeeper, Eurynome, she said, "Eurynome, pray, bring a bench and a fleece on it, and let the stranger sit and tell his tale, and listen too to me, I wish to question him."